Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? Would you grab your Bible, your iPhone, your tablet, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you got with you? If you believe it, would you say with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10? Book of John, chapter 10. I want to lay this out as the signature set of verses as we are entering into the series on hearing the Lord's voice. John chapter 10, beginning of verse 1, these are red letters. He says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought them out, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never, say never, they will never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech because they did not understand what he was telling them. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you that you have been powerfully at work in all of our lives, bringing us to the place where we are able to hear and recognize your voice with clarity, and where we are able to recognize the voice of a stranger and the voice of an enemy and not follow, not be deceived by it, in fact, run away from it, because we recognize it's not yours. Father, that has been your heart all down through time. And I thank you that in these days you are quickening your body to have ears that hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession again, my mind, my mouth, every part of me. I invite you to flow through me that I would only say what I hear you say. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seed that is going to be sown, and I command you to be outside the walls of this building, and I command you to loose every person under the sound of my voice. I declare today there will be no distraction from what is sown so that it would be received, put in fallow ground, and bear much fruit. I thank you again, Father, today that you are speaking in this place. And I thank you that you are going to be saying things that are not going to come out of my mouth. I pray that you would empower people to know it's you, to let those words be captured, because we believe one word from you can change everything. And so, Father, by faith, I say thank you for what you are going to do this morning in the powerful, in the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. How many of you were here last week as we began the first message on the Hearing God series? How many of you were here? How many of you weren't here last week? Yeah, good to have you. Just want to remind you this morning that we are back on track with posting all of the messages on YouTube. The message from last Sunday was posted this morning. Every message now will be posted right after the service and will be on there. So as soon as service is done, you can go on. We're going to be going back and posting some of the ones in July and August that we were delayed on. And as we were learning in this whole area, the ones that need to be edited. Can you believe that when we got off of online live streaming, that as I was preaching, I started moving around and touching people? Can you believe that? I did. And during a 6-foot, no touch, you know what I think about that, but we had to do some editing. And so just want to say today, If I touch somebody, forgive me, but that's just part of who I am. So I'm going to have that freedom. I just want you to know that that those will be posted, and you can go back. You can share them. I encourage you to do that. I found it quite fascinating when we began in March. March 15th was our, I believe March 15th was our annual meeting. It was that week that the government shut down all the churches. The next week after that, we had no church. That was the only one we missed. The week after that, we went live streaming. And the first service that we did live streaming had over 2,000 hits. It's quite interesting. And I found it really fascinating because it was reported by churches all across Canada and the States, even churches where they had 10,000 people. When they went online and live streaming, it was about 10 times the amount of viewership. There was about 200,000-300,000 that began watching their services. And it's almost one of those things, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned and turned it for good. Absolutely amazing what happened to the body of Christ that went online and live stream. And so just encourage you just to know that it's there. And if God blesses you through it, just share it. But it is on YouTube. If you need to find out where it is, you can chat with Kate. She'll let you know how to get there. I think for a lot of you, when they're posted, they instantly come up on your phone. You have an instant click that says the message has been posted, gives you the time, and so you can go and do that. Last week, we began the first of what's going to be a number of messages talking about hearing the voice with clarity. And we began with my sharing with you some of the things that God used in my life to bring me to a point where I had an absolute hunger to learn to how to hear the voice of God. I shared with you the beginning scripture that God used as a new believer, Moses, a conversation that God had with Moses. God talked, Moses heard, Moses talked, God heard, and I went, wow, I'd love that. I talked to you about being in part of a prayer group as a new believer and young people my age praying like they were talking to God. Not reading out of a book, not talking like he was out there somewhere, but talking like they knew him intimately right there. And I went, wow, I want that. I talked to you about the message that I heard from Tom Egham at the Amy Grant concert about going to Holland, and in 6 months, all they did was learn how to hear the voice of God. And I took you through the story of what happened in Russia all the way down to the end before they left. I ended with the story of Effie Kaminsky, the young girl I met on the bus who told me on that Saturday night, 8:30, sitting on my couch, the Lord told me to go to Westmount. And when I heard that, it stirred in me. I went, God, if you'd have spoken to me at 8:30 last Saturday night, I wouldn't have heard a thing. I'd have stayed on my couch. I'd have kept doing what I was doing. I'd have slept right through. And that person on the bench would have had a terrible end. I went, God, I want that. I want the clarity that Effie had. Shared that with you last week. This morning, the Holy Spirit, and I got to tell you, as I had been praying about this series for some time, God kind of laid down an agenda. But this past week, throughout the week, the Lord interjected something. He said, Colin, I want you to share something today to lay a foundation in this area that is going to be critical for some people. I want to say to you that this may not apply to all of you. Some of you may already be at a place where this is so solid inside of you. But the Lord said really clearly, he says, Colin, I want you to begin by asking two questions, and there's something that needs to be solid inside of my kids in this area. The first of the questions is this: does God speak? And that's going to be an easy one to answer a little later on. For most of us, we have no issue with that. But the second question is this: does God really want to speak to me? Does he really? I know he speaks to Pastor Colin. I know that. And I know he speaks to the Pope. I know that. Okay, let's not go there. But we can look around the room and we can go, you know what? I know he speaks to them. And I know he speaks to them. And I know he wants to speak. But I struggle because I'm not totally sure he wants to speak to me. And we'll talk about why. What the Father said to me this past week, he said this, Colin, I want you to paint a picture. I want you to lay out my heart toward my children in the area of communicating them hearing my voice and me hearing their voice. I want to tell you before I even begin, there's a number of messages that when the Lord lays them on my heart, I write down what he gives me, and then I go, God, I am going to fall so short of communicating what you are wanting to communicate. I'm going to fall so short of that. And the Lord goes, that's okay, Cole. I'll be there to top up what you don't. That's okay. I can't tell you the peace that gives me. But this is one of those. If you've been to a funeral where I've been at, I'll tell you, one of the things I say every time is if I had the ability, just for 5 minutes, I would have Jesus walk in the door, come to the front, and share what he wants to say in that funeral. If I had the ability, I'd love to raise the dead after they're gone and give them 5 minutes. Wouldn't that be awesome? But I want you to think, if just for 5 minutes, if Jesus could walk into this room and tangibly stand at the front and for 5 minutes look at you and me and say, this is my heart when it comes to communicating with you. For you to hear my voice, for me to hear your voice, this is my heart. I think 5 minutes would settle it. I think for people who have struggled for years, I think for people who go, I don't know that I've ever heard, for people who go, you know what, if you knew what I've done in my life, I'm disqualified from hearing. I'm not worthy of that. Whatever the issue, I think 5 minutes of Jesus looking at you and saying, this is my heart for you, saying your name, I think that would settle a whole pile. Well, the beautiful thing is, he is here by his Spirit. And he has the ability to use the voice of a man, but I want to tell you again, I believe today that you are going to be hearing things downloaded from the Father during this message that are just for you. Just for you. And so I encourage you to be open for that. I believe, and you know this too, I believe that a number of years ago, the Spirit of God blew some revelation into the church and began teaching on an area that literally changed, I believe, the face of Christianity on the earth. And it was with a revelation that came. That was the whole issue of the father wound. A recognition of the incredible influence that a father has on their children and God's design to go. Children grow up getting a picture of God by what they experience with their earthly dads. What they experience, what they hear, what they see, what they encounter with their earthly dad is the main picture of what is being painted. When they think about God the Father, their encounter with earthly dad is what gives them the picture, whether it's right or wrong. I believe that was part of what birthed the Promise Keepers movement. I believe the Spirit of God stirred inside, and all of a sudden men got a revelation of the impact that they were having on the lives of their families, the lives of their children, calling men to become men who kept promises when they made them, stopping the patterns that destroyed not only their lives, but their relationship and image with God. I believe that's what Promise Keepers was all about. I'll tell you straight up, there are some who don't see the correlation and they don't believe that. You're okay to believe that. But I believe that was a move of the Spirit of God that affected millions of lives across the globe. And I want you to think about this. If I was the enemy and I knew the impact of a father's relationship with his children to be the most significant thing to transfer into their relationship with God, if I knew how powerful that was, if I was the enemy, what would my goal be? What would it be? I would do everything in my power to wreck that. I would do everything in my power to make sure that every dad falls short of painting the picture of who God is. We're going to talk about some of those in a moment. And can I just ask you really clearly, how effective has the enemy's agenda been in the area of destroying relationships between children and their fathers? Incredibly. Incredibly. In the area of hearing his voice, we could talk about a whole bunch of areas where the father's relationship affects the children. Can I just give you a couple really quickly? Do you know, and this has been written about, it's been studied, it's been looked at, do you know that the healthier the relationship between a father and his daughter, the greater the likelihood that that little girl will grow up and will be a virgin at marriage? When the little girl is full of the father's love, she does not go looking for love in all the wrong places. In fact, healthy love will keep a young girl from being promiscuous. It will keep a young girl from being sexually active before marriage. It will keep a young girl pure. It'll keep her at a place where she goes, I don't need that. I don't need your attention. I'm already loved. I'm already full. And they stand at the altar and go, I'm giving my gift to you. The less health in the relationship, the greater the wounding in the girl, down to the point where young girls, broken, wounded, hurt, not tank filled by the father, we know this, becoming promiscuous at 9, 11, 13 years of age. Parents, I want you to hear, when you look at the lives of your children and look at the lives of children around, I want you to hear that when you see what's going on in their life, it is an indication of what is missing in the area of the father's heart for that person. Let me tell you straight up. Statistics show that over half of children now are being raised in single-family homes. Over half. I'm the enemy. I love that. Because not only have I broken the relationship between the father and mother, which is the greatest source of self-esteem in a child's life, the reality is when that relationship between father and mother is broken, it plants inside of the child a self-worth wound that causes the greatest insecurity in their life. It affects their learning. It affects their relationships. It affects their self-esteem. It affects their diet. It affects their sexual habit. It affects all of that. Can I ask you a question? Men, don't answer out loud. How old were you when you truly felt like you were a man? I'll tell you honestly, there are some men out there today who are 60, 70, 80 years of age, and they still struggle with being a man. We have a culture today that goes, wow, if you're 15 years of age and you have a girl that you can have intercourse with, that makes you a man. No, it doesn't make you a man. It makes you stupid. It makes you wounded. Well, maybe at 16 when I get my license, that makes me a man. Can I tell you, a pile of men out there are 16 and driving, and they do not feel like they are a man. Maybe if I graduate from high school, that will make me feel, no, that doesn't do it. Maybe when I get married, then now I can feel like a man. Can I tell you, there is a pile of married men out there who do not feel like men. There's little girls who are raising children, and there's little boys who are raising children. The father wound keeps men from feeling the affirmation of a man their entire life, until they either get it from a father figure or they get it from Father God. If I'm the enemy, I'll make sure that every father has no clue how to impart manhood to their sons, so their sons flounder, their sons look over and try and do all kinds of other things just to feel like they are a man. And in that process, violate how many people along the way? We're not going to talk about any of that. What we're going to talk about is the impact of the earthly father on their children in the whole area of hearing the voice of God. I want to just crack this open today, and I need your help in doing this. And so I'm going to ask a number of men to come forward. And I just want to say before I begin that none of the men that I'd asked to come are going to be reflecting what I have them represent here today, so don't even think that I called them up and stuck a sign on them and went, that's because they're like this. That's not it. But I'm going to have some men come, and I'm going to have you help me because some of you have been impacted by these kind of fathers. And it has affected you in piles of areas, but in the area of hearing the voice of God, that's what we're focusing on today. Dennis, can I have you come? We touched on this already. If I could just have you stand behind this and just hold it. This morning, Dennis is going to represent the absent father in a child's life. I don't want you to raise your hand. Those of you who were blessed to have a father in your home who loved your mom and was there your entire life, that is a blessing from God. I'll tell you, that's a blessing from God that so many in a young generation can't say anymore. I got to tell you, I wish it was different in the church, don't you? I wish you could come into the church and go, none of the stuff from the world applies. No, the truth is the enemy works his way into the church, and that's okay, because when you come broken, when you come wounded, God heals and restores what the enemy has stolen. Praise God, he can do that. I want you to think in the area of hearing when a child is growing up and their father is absent. And again, the relationship between hearing the voice of the father and the father hearing this child's voice, the belief system that is developed inside of a child who grows to be an adult when their father is absent. Tell me the impact that has on their belief about hearing the voice of the father. Just speak it out. There is no God. We could talk about statistics with children being raised in homes where their father is absent. You look at their ability to believe that there's a loving heavenly father out there. The correlation between the two is profound. Why are we having a generation who is rising up today, number one, that's not in church, number two, doesn't go to Sunday school, but number three, has no problem believing that there is no loving God out there? This is all they've known. Don't talk to me about there being a loving God, a loving father. Let me tell you about my dad. Walked out on me when I was three. Let me just make this really clear. I grew up in a home that had a dad in my life and in my presence all the way till his dying day, and I had the privilege of speaking at his funeral. I've shared that with you before. My dad did not walk away. My dad was not absent. My dad was not perfect. But Dad and I had a relationship. We had to work on it. I'm talking about those who had an absent father. Give me another one. How does an absent father affect their belief about hearing? That they don't matter. How many children watch their parent walk out of a door and they're willing to leave them behind going, if they loved me, they'd stay. If I mattered in their life, they'd stay. If I was important to them, they would stay. How is it that men have the ability today to walk out the door, leave their wife, leave their children? The statement is, I'm more important than you. I'm more important than our family. Can I tell you, I don't listen to, any of you listen to Dr. Laura? No, what's her name? What's her name on the radio? Not Judge Judy, she's different. Not Dr. Ruth. Who's the one who makes a statement and said, huh? Is Dr. Laura, is that the one? I think it is that, I think that's the one. I think Dr. Laura is the one that said, if you're the parent of a child, I don't care how bad your marriage is, you stay in that marriage until your child is grown. Your first responsibility is to them. After that, you think about yourself. I know there's exceptions. What she's advocating for is the impact of a child without a father going, stop being selfish, and you be there for them. In the area of hearing, this child grows up and goes, my dad wasn't there to talk to me. My dad wasn't there for me to talk to. I did not grow up with the voice of a father. I did not grow up hearing from a father what I should have heard. Can I just say this to you again really clearly? If I had a plant right here, There's a couple ways to kill this thing. One is I could take gasoline and I could pour it in here, and this one wouldn't die because it's fake, but if it was real, I could pour gas on that thing, and we know what it would happen very quickly, or we'd stick Roundup, and very quickly it would die, right? There's a lot of people who parents who pour the poison on their kids, and it affects their lives. But can I tell you another way that this thing can die? If I have this plant in my life, and I make a decision not to water it, if I don't go to that plant and say, I love you, if I don't go to that plant and say, I'm so glad you're my child, if I don't go to that plant and say, if I went to the superstore of body parts and I had to put all the body, I had to get all the body parts to put a little boy together, I could not have done as good a job as God did on you. Did you ever hear that growing up? Zach, did you ever hear that growing up? Somewhere along the line, and I don't even know where that deposited, I would say to my kids, if I went to the superstore of body parts, got all the parts to put a 5-year-old or 9-year-old or 13-year-old boy together or little girl together, I could not have done as good a job as God did on you. I love how he put you together. Do you know what that does on the inside of a child plant? Some parents deliberately, out of their own hurt, poured gas and Roundup on their child, but some parents were not there to pour into them what they needed in order to grow and be healthy and become the image of their relationship with God. The absent father has a powerful impact. Ron, could I have you come? How many of you took the series at church when we did How We Love by the Yurkoviches? Just raise your hand high. How many of you took it? Yep. This morning, Ron represents the angry father. In the series How We Love, the Yurkoviches talked about the fact that when they have studied children and their upbringings, they found that 70% of children were raised in homes where when they had something happen to them, they were not comforted by their parents. And they talked about in the study, they talked about the amount of children who were raised in homes where there was anger from a parent, specifically from a father, the impact that anger has on a child's life. When it comes to them loving themselves, when it comes to them relating with the Father, when it comes to them having a relationship with Heavenly Father. Can I tell you, there is some truth in the Star Wars movie. When the Emperor looks at Luke and says, give in to the dark side. Let the anger take you. Can I tell you why? Those of you who are raised in homes with anger, I don't have to tell you any of this. You know it better than I do. I don't want you to raise your hand. When a child is raised in a home where there is anger, where there is loud voice, where there is harsh words that come, the belief inside of the child coming out of an angry home is, there's something about me that makes my dad angry. Something is wrong with me. When you are raised in a home with anger, and so much of the time when your father figure is hollering at you or swearing at you or expressing, inside of you it develops a belief that to have a father talk to you is not a positive thing. Do not raise your hand, but I want to ask you, was there ever a time in your life where you believed that because of something about you that God was angry at you? There are a pile of people that when they think about God, they think about his anger. If I miss my devotions, he's angry with me. If I show up late to work, he's angry with me. If I make a mistake, he's angry with me. Why? And that's what they hear pounding. It's not God the Father speaking to them, but they hear the anger, because that is what they were raised with. Some of you here, you can't even relate to this because you didn't experience anger. I'm so thankful. But for those who did, the enemy used the angry father to do such damage when it comes to hearing the voice of God, that still small voice with... Some of them battled their entire life. And that father wound, some of them never gets healed. And can I just tell you what happens? Hurting fathers hurt their children. When those children grow up, those hurting adults hurt their children and hurt their spouses and hurt their. And when they grow up, they hurt. Hurting people hurt people until it's broken. Reg, can I have you come? I want Reg to represent the over-busy father that doesn't have time for his kids. Dad is still at home. Dad's still with mom, but he is so busy. What is the message? What is the message to a child when the father is present, but he is so busy? Can I paint you just a little picture? How many of you little girls, when you were little girls, how many of you, when you were preteen and then you were teen, how many of you had your dads come into your bedrooms at night, and they came and they just plopped themselves on the end of your bed and asked you about your day, wanted to find out about all the things you did at school, wanted to find out what's tearing at you, your little love interests, your little hobbies. They sat on the bed, whether it was for 5 minutes or for a half hour, your dads, they got into your world and they just talked to you, father to daughter. Don't raise your hands. Some of you had that. Some of you are going, does that really happen? Some of you, and in our day today, there are dads who are so busy, they're gone before their kids even get up. They're coming back after their kids are already in bed. They don't show up at one event, don't show up at school, don't show up in their bedroom, don't show up. What's the message when it comes to hearing? What's the message? Not important. My dad's too busy to hear what's going on in my life. I'm not important enough in order for my dad to carve out time and to share with me. Can I tell you, one of the richest treasures that a child can have is when a dad slows down enough and a dad takes time to share with their child some things about their life, not their problems, but about their life. When you have a child who hears from the heart of the father, the child goes, whoa, am I important for dad to share that with me? There's a lot of men who are married today that have no clue how to drop down on the communication ship iceberg and share their heart with their wife, which is the greatest treasure, the greatest intimacy, the greatest love they're looking for. They're not looking to find out about the topical. They're not looking to find out about the day. They're not looking to find out about all the stuff you could talk to a waitress at the restaurant. They want the heart level. Every wife pleads for that from their husband. And if they don't get it, they go to one of two sources, maybe three. One, to another group of women that they can talk with at that level, going, can't talk with him, so at least we can relate. Number two, another man somewhere that they can talk with at that level, because he asks questions, he listens, he wants to know the heart, he shares his heart, and before you know it, they find themselves in bed. Or number three, a woman who finds that in relationship with another woman and pretty soon finds out, you know what, I'm more attracted to you as another woman than I am a man, and pretty soon they're involved in a same-sex relationship. Can I tell you what I discovered years ago? You've heard me say it, busy is a demon. Busy is a demon. Busy is a spirit. Because the impact of busy on a child's life when it comes to shaping and painting a picture of who God is and developing that hearing love relationship, the hearing the voice and hearing the voice, John, can I have you come? This morning, John is going to represent the distracted father. I want you to think about, and again, I don't want you to raise your hands. I want you to think about, in this day and age, how many children are raised in homes where when they wake up in the morning, the father is sitting at the table, and his face is in the newspaper, and he will give the newspaper a half hour of his time where he won't even have time for his children. He'll just give quick answers, get your lunch together, let's do whatever. Today it's not so much the newspaper as it is men who will give hours to the computer, men who will give hours to the hockey game, men who will give hours to their buddies down at the bar, men who will give hours to whatever. They're there, but they are absolutely distracted. That child might as well not even be there. What's the message? How does it affect the hearing relationship, the development of the picture of God on the inside of them when this person, they're present, but they are so distracted that they cannot and they do not. What's the impact on hearing? A generation of kids who grew up and go, Dad spent more time in the paper than he did with me. A generation, Dad spent more time in the bar than he did with me. I spoke to someone this past week who said as a child, they remember. Their mom and dad packing them up, putting them in a vehicle, left them in the car, went into the bar. A couple hours later, they come out with a bag of chips and a pop, gave it to them. Said, you stay here. That's the picture being painted. Some of you experienced that. Virgil, can I have you come? Virgil already left. Zach, can I have you come? Zach represents the father who communicated to their children, kid, you are to be seen and not heard. Any of you ever hear that statement growing up? Any of you? Yeah, we all heard it, right? Thankfully, we all didn't experience it. But the child who is raised in a home where the father says to them, don't you speak unless you're spoken to. I don't want to hear your complaining. You're a child. You just be quiet. You listen while the adults, the important people, talk. What's the message when it comes to hearing? Does God really want to hear my voice? Is God really interested in speaking to me so I hear his voice? If my earthly dad is not interested in speaking to me and doesn't want to hear my voice, why would I think that a God does? The wounding that people have being raised in a home by a father, the ultimate authority that says, all I do is want to see you. I do not want to hear you. And really, the truth is, I really don't want to see you either. That adult child will never remember the time when dad walked into their bedroom, whether they're a boy or girl, sat themselves down on the bed, threw their feet up and said, let's talk. And I'll tell you something really funny. Some of you were children when your parents went off to Bible conferences, and when they came home, they started to try and implement a whole bunch of things they learned at the conference. Dads who never, in their entire life, never went in, never initiated a conversation, all of a sudden they come and they jump on your bed and go, hey, let's talk, and you're as a kid, you're in shock. What happened to Dad? And because you wouldn't open up right away, because this was really weird, because you've never had this, it didn't go as well as Dad thought, and he goes, well, that didn't go well. Yet the cry of his little girl's heart was, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to adjust to this. Is this for real? And dads who couldn't take the time to rebuild that trust, some dads rebuilt that incredibly well. And by the time their daughters were getting married, their dads were their best friends. Some didn't do it so well. The impact of fathers who communicated, seen and not heard, powerful when it comes to hearing. Gord, can I have you come? The Promise Keepers movement addressed this one powerfully. I don't want you to raise your hand. The children who are raised in homes where their fathers lied to them. Their fathers told them one thing, and yet they didn't do it. In broken homes, we know the stories where fathers say, I'll be over Saturday morning to pick you up, and Saturday noon, he still wasn't there. Fathers who said, we're going to go and we're going to do this, we're going to go fishing, and the fishing never happened, where they told them things and they developed and go, I can't believe Dad. I can't believe him. Yeah, his intention may be good, but he lies to me. And he lies to my mom. Many of you grew up in homes where your fathers did not keep their promises. One of those promises being, when they stood at the altar, I will be faithful to you till death does us part. And when a child is in a home and they experience the breaking of relationship between mom and dad breaks the promise to mom, inside of the child, they go, if he can do that with mom, he'll do it with me. Do you know how many people, when they hear what God says to them, whether through a pastor, whether through the word, or even through the spirit, they go, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Do you know why? Because if the highest authority in your life is not truthful with you, you don't believe anybody. Don't raise your hands. Any of you have trust issues? Don't raise your hand. The enemy goes, if I can get a father to be untrustworthy with his children, I can mess up their ability to hear the voice of God and to trust that what he says is for me. I can mess it up totally their entire life. I want to touch one more, which is a reality in our day. There were many earthly fathers who were hurting fathers who in relationship with their children were actually abusive. Physically, sexually, emotionally, and at the hands of their father, they experienced an abuse they were never meant to experience. Ever. The enemy goes, if I can get an earthly father to abuse their child, I can make sure that they are totally and royally messed when they come to thinking about a relationship with a loving father, that father loving them, that father wanting the best for them, that father treating them with love and respect, that father being good to them when all they experienced was not good to them. When the hand that is to protect you becomes the hand that wounds you the deepest, the enemy goes, I got him. Why? If I'm the enemy, I will do everything in my power to make sure that you never hear the voice of a loving father say to you, I love you. I am so proud of you. I did not make a mistake making you. You have no idea how much joy who you are brings to my heart. Do you know how many little girls have never heard that from their dads and how many grown girls have never heard that from their hurting husbands? And all of that affects their ability to hear the truth of the heart of a loving father. I want you to think about this for a minute. I say to Jane all the time, I say, I'm so thankful I'm not the Holy Spirit. Because when I think about the work that the Holy Spirit has, I would not apply for that job in a million years. The Holy Spirit has to take, and we could list a pile more, I'm not going to this morning, the Holy Spirit has to take the negative impact on the whole relationship between father and child that was designed to raise a child up and just transfer them to God in an easy way, to take all of the brokenness and wounding and hurt and the lies and all the, and bring them to a point where they are wide open to believe that Heavenly Father is loving, that He wants relationship, that He wants to speak to you, that He wants to hear your voice, that He wants to have that intimacy, that He wants to, that He would climb on your bed and be your best friend to take you from there to here. That's a God-sized job. And praise God, He does it. Might it be that's why He said that He becomes a father to the fatherless? That He came to wound, heal the brokenhearted? When the Lord said to me, call. Thank you, gentlemen. Can we give these guys a hand? When the Lord said to me, call. I want you to share that my heart toward my children is I want them to hear my voice, and I want them to know that I want to hear their voice. I am a father unlike any of the fathers they've ever had. I want to give you one picture that Jesus gave when He was on earth. You know it. Do you remember the time when Jesus made the statement? He said, if an earthly father has a child who comes and says, can I have some bread? He says, an earthly sinful father will not give him what? A stone. An earthly dad's not going to give him a stone. And if a child comes and goes, dad, could I have a fish? That father's not going to give him a what? A serpent. A snake. He goes, let me tell you about earthly dads. When an earthly dad hears, hey, can I have some bread? The father goes, sure, you're hungry? I'll get you some bread. You want a fish? Sure, I'll get you a fish. Maybe I'll even get you some sardines. Would that be good? Or if you're German, herring. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'll get you herring. But listen what he said. Listen what he said. He said, if you, earthly fathers, who are sinful, have sinful nature, sinful background, you're not perfect. If you, as earthly dads, know how to give good things to your earthly kids, he goes, how much more? You are to experience goodness from your earthly father, but then the how much more? The how much more? He's going, I want to paint a picture of you that Heavenly Father is how much more? So here's the deal. I'm an earthly dad. And I want to have a relationship with my kids. Can I just jump off the ship for a second? Ladies, don't raise your hands. Does it make a difference to you whether you need to plan your anniversary with your spouse or if your husband initiates and plans the anniversary and then let? Does it make a difference inside of your hearts, ladies? Does it make a difference if you have to be the one who makes the effort to, you know what, I want flowers, so I guess I'll just go buy flowers. I want them, I'll go buy them, because if I don't buy them, guess what? Can I ask you, when you're the one who says to your husband, I love you, and he goes, yeah, me too. Really what he's saying, you love me, and I love me too. Ladies, can I ask you, when your husband, in the middle of the whatever, is the one to walk up, take the initiative, you haven't done anything or said, he walks up and says, sweetheart, I just love you. Just want you to know that. After she passes out and you fan her and she gets off the floor, right? Can I just tell you one thing? We have a Heavenly Father who did not wait for us to initiate relationship with Him. We have a Heavenly Father who initiated toward us. He loved us first. He came to where we were. He was the one who initiated time. He came and did whatever it took. There are some out there. I will never forget in the early years of my ministry counseling a young man who had an anger issue. And the reason I saw him is because he just got out of prison. He ended up in a bar. He got drunk. He ended up in a fight. He broke a couple guys' noses, a couple ribs. He ended up in jail. He phoned me up. I knew his mom and dad. He phoned me up and he says, I got to get this dealt with. He goes, I don't even remember it happening. He goes, someday I'm going to kill somebody. He goes, I don't even know. The anger in me is huge. We began talking. The Holy Spirit began revealing. Found out this young man had a father wound. His dad was a Christian. In fact, his dad was one of the top guys of Full Gospel Businessmen. Can I just say, you can be at the top echelon and still suck as a dad? Can I just say that to you? Or can I say, you can be a pastor and be a horrible father? Can I say that to you? This young man made a statement to me that I have never forgotten. In fact, he said it to me while I was a young dad, and I'll tell you, there are often times where I encountered things in the counseling office that were actually God used to change me. When this young man, in his late 20s, having had children from a relationship that he was not even married to, in how many bar fights, how many brokenness, how many whatever, he said to me, if I ever wanted my dad's attention, I had to go and find him and hang out with him while he was doing what he would do, because he never came my way. He never came to my hockey game. He never came to my bedroom. He never came to my school. If I wanted time with dad, I had to go and do what he was doing. There was no initiation my way. Sorry to wake you. At least I know she's not asleep. Some of you, I'm not so sure. I want to just say this out there. This is an attribute of our loving Father that many of us have not experienced in our marriages. We did not experience growing up. We have a loving Father who initiates. He initiates. He comes our way. He comes our way. He enters our world. He wants to be where we are. He wants to spend time. He wants to know our world. He wants to get into our heart. He wants to draw out. He wants to know us. For some of you, the only one who wants to do that with you is God. Can I say to you, that's enough. I want to end by sharing with you something the Lord gave me years ago that just transformed my life. In 1994, Jane and I and Mal and Zach were just little kids. Sam wasn't born yet. We moved to Camrose. We lived right over by the First Baptist Church. Bought a house there, circumstantially depressed. Got a great price on it, spent the next 4 years changing it, fixing it, renovating, love doing that. There was 1 year we got a notice that the city was going to come and they were going to dig up our sidewalk and they were going to widen it out. They had to do some street work, so they were going to widen it out. As soon as I got that notice, my first thought was, we had an anthill family on the side of our lawn that was right on the edge of the sidewalk that I had a hard time disrupting it. I kind of got to be friends with the ants there. So when we got the notice that the city was going to come, they told us the date, got the notice that they were going to rip that whole thing up. One of my first thought was, I don't want the ants to get hurt. I know, I'm not weird. So one evening when I got back from work, I went outside and I went down to where the ants were, and I just kind of sat on the sidewalk, and I said, little guys. And I didn't have the notice with me, but I talked to them, and I said, guys, I got a notice. In about 2.5 weeks, the city's going to come. They're going to rip this thing up. Your home, all that you've built here in this beautiful, it's going to be destroyed. Some of you are going to get hurt. Some of you are going to die. Guys, we need to move to another spot. I said, we have a flower bed that is up on top. There's rocks around it. If you will just follow me, I will lead you up. Guys, I will lead you up to where the rocks are, the flower. I'll let you develop inside of there. You take your home. I know you got to relocate, but you'll live. I can't tell you how disappointed I was. Because while I was talking and sharing my heart of concern with these little ants, they kind of kept scurrying around like I wasn't even there. It felt like they didn't hear me. So I went back inside and I said, Jane, I said, that didn't go so well. I said, my hope was to be Moses and to lead these ants up the hill and put them in a new land for them. They did not listen to me, Jane. She looks at me. I think that's where she wrote down 911 beside the phone, just in case, right? I got to tell you, I was thinking about it, went to work the next day, came to work, was praying about it. I went out there the next evening, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a little one of Jane's garden shovel things. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to go and just start digging around their thing and just kind of disrupt them and let them know that, you know what, you're going to have to move. And I was out there, and my motivation was to motivate them, and I got over here because they had to go up the hill, and I wanted to start stirring them, and I thought I could just push them away. The craziest thing was, as I started doing this, the ants came out in droves, and they started attacking my shovel. I was there to help them. I was there to move them. I was there to help them live, and they thought I was there to kill them. They thought I was attacking them. They came, and they started attacking my shovel work. I pulled my shovel out. I went in the house and said, Jane, that didn't go so well. She looks at me. My heart was for me to save my little ants and to put them in a promised land. That was my heart. I went to work the next day. I could not get my little ants because the day was getting closer. I could not get my little ants off my heart. I said, God, what am I going to do? That day when I was working, God gave me an idea that I never thought about. It was amazing. That evening when I got home, I had supper, put the kids to bed with Jane. I went back out there and I said, okay, God, do it. And in that moment, God changed me into an ant. As an ant, I climbed into that ant hill and I found the queen of the ants. I kept asking, I said, which way do I go? They go turn right, left, turn right, the whole, it was like crazy. But anyway, I got there, got to the queen ant pile, and I walked inside and I said, I have a message, an urgent message for you. I was speaking ant. Back off, Chad. I got into the very center and I went to the queen and I said, I got a message for you, and I told the queen exactly what came on that notice. The queen heard me. She goes, I cannot thank you enough. That evening after I left the anthill and I came back out, that evening went home, the next morning when I came out, the ants had all moved from that pile by the sidewalk up to where I said they could go, and they started making a new little pile. When the city came and destroyed the sidewalk and that whole area, not an ant was hurt, not an ant was killed. Do you know why? God empowered me in my love to become like they were so that they would eventually hear my voice and they could be saved. I took the initiative to save the ant. God took the initiative to become like you and me and send Jesus down so we could hear his voice and listen and move locations and live forever. I want you to understand the heart of the Father. If he stood here today and he looked at you and me, he said, if there has ever been a doubt inside of you, that as a father, I want you not just to hear my voice, but I want you to hear my loving voice. And I am so interested in hearing your voice. He goes, the price I paid to do that. But even more than that, he goes, I want you to know I made you that way. I designed you. Can I ask you, when you read in the book of Genesis, how long does it take before you find out that God does speak? You read two verses and all of a sudden in Genesis 1:3 it goes, and God said. That's as far as you need to go. So for those of us who have faith, it's not an issue. Does God speak? We know he speaks. Verse 9, verse 15, verse 27, verse 36, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God. We know that God speaks. The issue is, does he want to speak with me in the same way he did with Jesus? Let me tell you what you know. When the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were in heaven and they were talking, they were going, let's make man in our image. You know that's plural, right? It's not let's make man in my image. It's let's make man in our image. When he created Adam, you know what he created Adam? He created Adam with ears to hear and gave him a voice to speak. Is that the image of God? Let's make man in our image. Why? You've heard me say this before. Jane and I did not have children so they could cut our lawn. They did not have children. We did not have children so they could run the farm. Jane and I had children so that we could pour our love into them and that we could enjoy relationship with them. What does the Bible say? Every catechism, every Lutheran, every Catholic background, every Anglican, we have to learn the catechism. It says, why did God create man? One reason, to have fellowship with him. I want you to think about this. If when Eve brought the apple to Adam or the fruit to Adam and said, sweetheart, this sucker's good. If Adam would have went, just give me a second, Eve, I got to go talk to Dad. Walks over, says, Father, Eve just came over, this fruit, haven't seen it before, we haven't eaten it before. She goes, it's good, should I dip in? The father would go, son, you bite that, everything will change. You go back to your wife and you say, Eve, this is the one we're not supposed to eat. We're going to take it. We're going to throw it on the ground. You can be forgiven. We can be restored. We can continue to have fellowship, walk with God in the cool of the day, be aware of his presence, hear his voice. He's hearing our voice. We can walk to him totally, unconsciously, with no clothes on, in the presence of God, just living in the presence. Can I tell you, that is what you and I were meant to know. Isn't it interesting that the moment Adam and Eve sinned, the very first thing that was interrupted was what? They went and hid. And here's what's crazy. The Bible says Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes, and it said they heard God walking through the cool of the day in the garden. They heard him. Do you know why they heard him? Because God made them with ears. If they heard him walking, they were also designed to hear his voice. After they fell, isn't it amazing? God goes to the Israelite people and so God says, I want to speak to all the people. The people come to Moses and say, we are terrified for God to talk to us. You talk to him. You come after. You come. We'll listen to you, but we don't want to talk to God. That's too scary. What was the father's heart? No, I don't want to go through somebody. I want to go directly. Can you imagine me and Jane on a date and I bring somebody with me and I go, could you tell Jane that I love her? Okay, Jane Collin loves you. Can you imagine you having to come to me and I say to you, just want you to know God loves you. He's not going to tell you directly, but he's talking through me now. Do you know how many people are raised that way? Got to hear God through someone else? The price Jesus paid becoming an ant, to move the anthill, to speak our language was because I don't want to talk through a Moses. I don't want to talk through a priest. I want to come right to you. I created you and I designed you to hear my voice and to be able to speak back, to have the intimate relationship that Adam had for a while, that Jesus had forever. If you get nothing else out of this message, I don't care how you were raised, I don't care what your background, I don't care what kind of father you had, if the Father God stood here today, he would go, this is my heart. Sweetheart, I'm going to initiate, but I want you to hear from me what no one else will tell you with love, and I want to hear your voice. It is different from any other person on the planet. I want to know you. There are people out there who believe there is no God. They are deceived. There's people out there who believe God created things and then set it off. He's got nothing to do with it. He just set it in motion. They're deceived. There's people out there who believe that God does speak, but he only speaks to certain people. They're deceived. God says, I'm a God who speaks. I created you as my child to hear my voice. I will do everything in my power. I will initiate until everything is removed and you hear me with the clarity that Adam and Jesus, the second Adam, did. That's the Father's heart for you. That's what God told me to tell you today. I've done my job. Now the Spirit in you will take it from here. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Second, I have you come. Holy Spirit, you inspired the Apostle Paul to write down words that were transforming. He wrote down a prayer for the Ephesians where he said, I pray that God would give you the power to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of God for you. Father, there is not one of us on our own who has the ability to hear your voice with clarity and to believe that the cry of your heart is to climb onto our bed and to hear our voice. But you are the one. You give us the power to do that. Today, Father, I release a grace as we talked over every person here and under the sound of my voice who has experienced wounding from an earthly dad. I release a grace that there would be an undoing of what the enemy has done. Father, that you would touch and heal, that you would restore what the enemy stole. You would awaken that which has been put to death. And you would bring us back into that place where we experience you as a loving Father. And we live in the freedom of being your child. Father, would you brand inside of us the desire of your heart that you want relationship with us. You want us to hear your words. You want to hear our words. Would you brand inside of us, you created us for relationship with you. And would you make us satisfied with nothing less? Holy Spirit, I invite you to minister into the heart and life of every person in this place who is needing an undoing. Because your will is for us as your children to walk in that intimate relationship with you, I prophetically declare your will today. I declare because of your power, Holy Spirit, every one of us will come to the place of hearing your voice with clarity, of recognizing the voice of the enemy and knowing it's the enemy and running from it, but living in the intimacy with the loving Father. I declare your will over every person under the sound of my voice. Father, thank you for what you have spoken into the lives of so many today. Your still small voice speaking, transforming, life-changing truths. Seal those. And I thank you for the healing that is coming. The healing, like waves, is coming. The ministry is coming. The undoing is coming. I declare to you today what you already know. Your heavenly Father, so unlike any earthly dad, he's blessed you and he's keeping you. He has caused his beautiful face to shine with favor on you. He has lifted up upon you his countenance. And he's given you real peace and the power to hear truths from his mouth will set us free. I declare that with boldness in the name of the Father and His Son Jesus and His Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time.